So then my question would be, we talked about this is where Jonah's starting to repent. Is he, we're just taking Jonah now, not as the type, is he really learning anything about repentance here? Because it would seem, as you go on, that he's really not, there's no repentance, even at the end of the book. He's learning something about the mercies of God. He's learning something about his own failings. But what happens later, it seems like he still has no eye towards the mercy of God toward the Gentiles. So could you say that there really is no repentance for Jonah as seen here in this chapter? This is much deeper. The Spirit of God is something much deeper in bringing us into a type of the Lord Jesus, and that he wouldn't even begin to learn repentance until chapter 4.
That the Lord in this experience dealt with him, where in chapter 3 he was willing to go to Nineveh. But nevertheless, probably you might say the attitude toward others did not change. But he had to learn that he had to go to Nineveh. He didn't like the result, that's beside the point. God was not commissioning him to like the result, what God is going to do. God commissioned him to go to Nineveh. That's the end of it. And gave him few words to preach. That's it. So God will move, it is said, God will move the universe to accomplish his purpose. And God brought a big fish to accomplish what he had commanded Jonah. I'd like to look into this prayer as the saints have reminded us. And just use certain words, because even in a conference like this, there's nothing greater that will warm our hearts than we somehow when we hear these inward feelings of the Lord. Not that we can enter into them, God forbid, but just to hear it from his blessed voice. The first thing is the thought of cry. It reminds us of Psalm 22nd, I cry unto thee in the daytime, and thou hearest me not. And then he says in verse 2, out of the belly of Sheol. That will bring before me personally Psalm 16. Psalm 16 speaks about this perfect man that went through or into Sheol, but he will never see corruption. Thou shalt not let thy Holy One see corruption. And then when you move forward, it says about the into the deep, verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep. Psalm 42, there is this verse, deep calleth upon deep. You know what? This something happened literally as far as Jonah going into the belly. And maybe he felt the hand of the Lord in a physical way. He felt what it is to be in the waves, thrown in this wave. But when the Lord Jesus uses these expressions, he's using it in relationship to a holy God judging him as he would judge sin. And brethren, this will cause us just to somehow sit back and say, what costed him to pay for our sins? And then the waves and the billows remain the same thing. Psalm 42. So I want to join with the brothers who have encouraged us that even at our own leisure, to go and compare this prayer and find it in the book of Psalms when the Lord was expressing the same thing in relationship to the judgment that he has received, that God done unto him in the day of his fierce anger.
Just a quick comment on that. As to, you know, you tread softly because I knew that we were going to get on to the other side of Jonah where you're going to begin to see that there wasn't much of a real recovery in a sense. But I think we have to understand that in chapter 2, how the Spirit of God will want to bring before us the blessed man. And once we have that before us, we can appreciate that, you know what, in Scripture, the types will always fail. But God will yet use those types to bring out the truth concerning his well-beloved son. I think of David, a man after God's own heart, and yet there was abject failure with him. And that does not minimize the fact that God has used him in a typical way to set forth Christ himself.
And again, in the prayer here, here is one who is very familiar with the scripture, very familiar with the book of Psalm. As a matter of fact, the first word in chapter 2, Jonah prayed. The word for prayer there, it's a Hebrew word, I think mentioned about 70 times in the Old Testament. And it has the idea of self-judgment. Self-judgment. So he wasn't there really looking on actually two things that was brought before him. The holiness of God and the grace of God. When you are in those situations, and I believe Jonah, for 3 days, he was on his knees. He was on his knees for 3 days. And probably by the third day, he started opening his mouth. Because when he ended by mentioning the name of Jesus, and I dare to say that, it is there. Salvation is Jehovah. That is Jesus. That is the Hebrew word. That is Joshua. That is Jesus. When he mentioned that, there is deliverance. But it was for that period of time he is there, contemplating not only what sin had brought in and disobedience had brought in, but contemplating the holiness of God. Twice he mentioned about the holy temple, the temple of thy holiness. And then in the end of verse 8, he mentioned grace there. It's mercy, but it's really the word for grace. Grace is mentioned there because the holiness of God must be maintained. But the grace of God or the love of God will be displayed. They reconcile together in the death, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus.
Just to come to Jonah's rescue, I remember the night I got saved, I didn't even know what repentance was. I repented more after I was saved, before I was saved. So he did say salvation is of the Lord. The Lord Jesus said that too in Psalm 21. He greatly rejoiced in God's salvation and that he was raised from the dead. So there's some good things here, too, about Jonah.
In regards to, we appreciate the thoughts concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it's seen here in the life of Jonah. But for us, as individuals who go through our daily lives, and we do fail, we do come short, we see in the life of Jonah, as was mentioned earlier on, that he recognized what the mariners did to him was of the Lord. That God was using individuals for his discipline. When he goes into the belly of the fish that the Lord had prepared, it was God at work as well. The fish was more obedient than Jonah, that the fish can respond to the call of God to go and swallow up this particular individual, and the fish was obedient. But it's also a challenge for me, a challenge for all of us, we trust. How precious is the word of God to us in difficult circumstances? We've heard mention of at least three precious portions of scripture, Psalms 22, 69, 42. Is the word of God hidden in my heart that when difficult time comes, I am able to rehearse it? That they become precious to me in difficult time. What if? Many of us, even sitting here today, have at least two Bibles on our laps. What if the Word of God is taken away from us physically? Are we at the point where we can say, you know, I have learned so much of it that if the Word of God is taken away from me, I can still reflect back and enjoy portions of Scripture that I have learned, whether it be from camp or Sunday school or at the meetings and so forth? How precious is the word of God to me in my daily life so that when I am in circumstances in the belly of the fish, I can rehearse these things and they can become dear to me? Yes, Jonah is down there, and in this solitary place, he can cry out to God for deliverance, and God heard his prayer and delivered him. But may the word of God be precious to us as it was to Jonah in his difficult circumstance.